Blog Talk Radio.
Don't adjust your dial, Rob. Don't adjust your dial, guys. Yeah. Young Force world, young radio. World. People around the nation. Welcome.
I love it.
Next week, I'm going to drop some lyrics, man. I promise next week. What's going on, people? Welcome, of course, to a special edition of Talking Sports with 12 Man. Your host, Andre Peterson and Robert Ford. We're doing it on a special night tonight. We're doing it on a Tuesday night, obviously because of a lot of Thanksgiving holidays and all that fun stuff. So we moved up tonight. So hopefully you still get the same jam-packed, great analysis information about college football, pro football, whatever's on the docket. And we're looking forward to having a great show tonight. So how you doing, Rob? Everything good for you tonight?
Doing great. Boy, what a wild weekend we just had in the world of sports this past weekend, particularly in football. I mean, yeah, the BCS is all mumbled and jumbled up, and lots of upsets in college football. As a matter of fact, three of the top five BCS teams last weekend's BCS got upset, and we're talking about Oklahoma State here. We're talking about Oregon and Oklahoma. And I guess my question for you, out of those three teams that lost, which one is the most shocking?
The most shocking, I mean, there's a couple of them that, you know, I didn't think that Oklahoma State was going to get beat. That was one of those games that you're looking back and like you said, you're at a loss for words whenever you see stuff like that. Obviously, seeing Oregon do their thing was great. It's just, like I said, there's a lot of things that I was shocked to see Oklahoma State because they were kind of in control of their own destiny, if you will. So, for me, that kind of blew a lot of things. You know, go ahead.
That one was definitely most surprising.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State just seemed extremely tight. They didn't play with the same energy they had been playing all season. They were really tight. And that one is definitely the most shocking. Just did not see Iowa State coming up there and beating that ball club. And
who was Iowa State? Is what we were thinking. Like, were they that good, or was Oklahoma State just that bad? But go ahead, I'll let you finish your thought too. So,
well, I think Iowa State got up for that ball game. I mean, they definitely got up. They were at home. They had the home crowd. They had the energy. And I thought Oklahoma State was very tight in that ball game. And I think it's a little bit of both. Oklahoma State got up to play them, but I also think Oklahoma State did not play their best, and it wound up costing them. Ten times, I think Oklahoma State would beat them 8 or 9 out of those 10 times. They just got Oklahoma State on Iowa State was able to pull off the upset, but you know, Iowa State goes on the road to Oklahoma this weekend. I don't think they're going to get upset 2 weekends in a row, especially with Oklahoma coming off of a loss to Baylor.
Robert Griffin III. Yeah.
What an incredible game he had. 479 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Against Oklahoma, he practically put that Baylor team on his shoulders and just carried them to victory.
Yeah, and like I said too, and real quick before I forget to talk about that as well too, and I was saying Oakland when I was saying Oregon did their thing, I was saying that they got beat obviously by USC. But we'll talk about that too because that's another one that was very interesting as well. But yeah, it was good to see some that late touchdown pass by Robert Griffin III did his thing. And, you know, it's just one of those games where, like I said, and remember we talked about this earlier in the season, I wasn't too sure about Bob Stoops and his ability to coach in the big game. So that still came up. And obviously, for some reason, I don't know why, Oklahoma has a couple of lapses, or they just don't either. It just seems like they just have a couple of those games where, you know, you want to focus in and handle your business, and once again, they just got beat by the better team that day.
Yeah, Robert Griffin III. I mean, what an incredible performance! Several NFL scouts was on hand, and both view him as well as Landry Jones, most experts project Landry Jones to go higher in the draft, but from my understanding, a lot of NFL experts came away very impressed with the 30-year-old Oklahoma. Those stats against 479 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, very high completion percentage. This guy is surprising, and, you know, by all of the indications, and top 10, top 15 pick or worse now. He still may go behind Luck, Barkley, Landry Jones, but he could definitely be the fourth quarterback taken in the draft, where prior to this year starting, he was probably looking like a second or third round pick. Packers on the rise. It's good to see that he's putting it together in a serious, I would have to say, serious Heisman candidate now. As well, I think last my vote would have been for Kingdom of Oklahoma State. I think I've kind of changed that to Trent. Now that would be my vote, but there's still some football to be played, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too because, you know, like you said, a lot of scouts were able to see, Robert Griffin III do his thing, and there are. The BCS has definitely changed a lot, and there's some teams that can benefit from a couple of these losses. And like I said, we're going to get some of your thoughts as far as what the bowl picture looks like. Obviously, there's still a lot of things going this week for rivalry week, if you will. But any other upsets? Because there's a lot we can touch base on. I'm going to kind of defer to you because, you know, obviously North Carolina State upsetting Clemson and obviously USC Oregon. There's a lot of things that got shook up this weekend, so I'm going to let you kind of, like, lead as far as where you want to go with these upsets, you know, Michigan and beating Nebraska. So it's just what a weekend to have everything kind of be thrown out of whack, if you will.
Yeah, and one other game we can kind of talk about really quick before we kind of get into those games is the USC going on the road and beating Oregon. And I didn't necessarily see that one coming. And even though USC has the talent, I thought Oregon would have been tough to beat on their home. It's quietly average season. And, of course, USC is not eligible to play in the Pac-12 championship game nor in a bowl game. So they're not as much recognition as they would because of that. And if they were eligible, it would certainly be a top 10, top 15 ranked team. But we're not seeing them in the rankings because of their probation on the ball club. They just went on the road and played Oregon. And in a normal year, they would be in first place in the Pac-12 South and would be able to compete for the Pac-12 championship with the rematch of USC Oregon. And but, you know, it looks like it may be LA and Oregon. But that was that was a very surprising victory for me to be at. Oregon's usually normally very tough to beat at home.
Yeah, I was going to say, and a lot of these people now, they're talking about, like, obviously we're talking about how teams lost and was it a close game, was it a good team? You think the fact that they lost by a close score, like 3 points, is that going to kind of affect their standing and probably get even a better BCS bowl, you think, or are they still kind of a long shot, if you will?
Well, I think Oregon is a long shot for the national championship. But now they have 2 losses. But they're still very much in the running to make it to a BCS bowl, which means if they win the Pac-12, they'll automatically go to the Rose Bowl. So now with 2 losses, they're just about out of the BCS national championship game running. Which leads us to another interesting topic here. The top 3 teams in the BCS right now are all from the SEC. And believe it or not, they're all from the same division in the SEC, the SEC West. But LSU, number 2, Oregon's 3. Brings up a very interesting debate. Should two teams from the same conference compete for the national championship game?
I don't think so, personally. It's just one of the situations, too, where sitting back and kind of thinking about the question, this is what everyone's talking about, and kind of piggyback on it. Let's say that, you know, taking your case scenario where you guys have beaten Alabama, you want to play Alabama again? I mean, we've already seen that, done that. I mean, would you want to, you know, see them again in the national championship, or do you kind of want like a kind of a fresh perspective? I would, even though, you know, it'd be a great matchup again, but I just think we've already seen that. So, you know, that's kind of where I don't think we should have the same teams, you know, kind of do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting debate, and all the more reason why I think we need a playoff system in college football. I mean, under the current system, I want to see the two best teams. So if the two best teams are in the same, I don't have a problem with that. But I know there's still two more weekends of, you know, college football to kind of determine who's going to play in the BCS championship game. Now, if the season ended this past weekend, it would be a rematch of LSU-Alabama. Now, there's still more football to be played. Alabama has one loss. Arkansas has one loss. Oklahoma State has one loss. Virginia Tech lost. Stanford one loss. So you're talking about five teams. And you know, which one of those one-loss teams do you pick to play in a national championship based on what standings are?
It's interesting, too. Now, it's a weird thing. Houston's kind of on the outside looking in, too. They haven't played anybody, too. They're the only other undefeated school now. So it's just, you know, like you said, that's why the Oklahoma State loss was kind of like deafening, because they were in the right position too to make some noise too. So you're looking at it, and you know, like you said, right now, looking at the Sugar Bowl, you got to have Alabama and Stanford. That's probably the best scenario too. I mean, who's going to be a national champion? I mean, who deserves it more? I mean, should it be LSU, Alabama? I mean, I don't think Arkansas should be in the championship race. So, I mean, you know, I don't know enough about their schedule. You know, it's just interesting. I'd love to see a Stanford-LSU matchup too, but, you know, you want to have the best teams playing, which, like you said, let's get in favor of this playoff system. So that way, you know, there could be a good surprising team that can, you know, shock the world, if you will, but it's a good game, you know? So that's kind of what, you know, my thoughts are, you know?
It's the first for the BCS have three the top ranked teams all from the same conference, not only the same conference, the same division. That's
same
kind
division,
of unheard
yeah.
of. Yeah. And now let's move on. We have about six matchups of teams that are ranked going head to head. You know, Andre, you want to get the call in again before we get to these games here?
Definitely, as always, for those calling in, the number is 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. And, of course, we're talking sports with 12 Man. For those that don't know, don't forget to check out the Facebook page, all the fun stuff. We're working on a website. But it's all about the fans and interactivity. So go ahead, Rob.
The first game we're going to get into, the game, of course, has a big interest to you. The 12 Eastern kickoff on ESPN, 13th-ranked Georgia at 23-ranked Georgia Tech, the battle of the Peach State right there in Atlanta. What are your thoughts on this particular matchup?
Reports are that Isaiah Crowell may not play. He's got a hurt ankle, if you will. And this is a good question for all my people out there, too. The rivalry game has a different meaning. And, you know, I've heard some people say that go ahead and rest Crowell due to the fact that there's a bigger game next week versus LSU. And I've heard some people say that the rivalry game, it is what it is. It doesn't matter if you are 0-10, you know, not 0-10 or something like that, but it's all about the rivalry game. So what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think by any means necessary, you know, get this win, or do you think you got bigger fish to fry in next week's SEC championship game?
Well, no, I know that Georgia's already clinched the SEC East, but this is still a very big game, and in my opinion, it's a game they have to play to win. I mean, you got recruiting battles on the line. There are probably some players there in the state of Georgia that's making decisions between Georgia and Georgia Tech. And, you know, recruiting plays a big role in that particular matchup. I mean, and so I definitely think Mark Rick, I mean, they've won. And they have to play to win the game.
And I like it, too.
Not
I like
just
it too.
Play
not
to just play it.
To play to win the game. Yeah. Hello? But I'm going to tell you, too, it's good, too, because this is interesting because Georgia Tech has decided that their goal is to have a 10-win season. So somewhere in the back of our mind, and I think this is interesting because the roles were reversed. The game is at Grant Field. It is at Georgia Tech, by the way. But it's funny because last year or a couple years ago, we had an opportunity to go to the ACC Championship, and Georgia Tech actually lost to Georgia. And Paul Johnson was pretty much saying, hey, you know, it's okay because the biggest game was the ACC Championship. And now I kind of feel like the same thing is going to happen. I think Georgia Tech is going to pull it out. And Georgia's going to be like, yeah, whatever. We got bigger fish to fry. It's all about the SEC championship because Georgia Tech is putting a lot on this game. They wanted to have this to reach that 10-win plateau, obviously going to a bowl game. So that's kind of my predictions, only because I don't think that it's more or less like Georgia doesn't care, but I just think that Georgia Tech is going to put a lot on this game.
Well, both teams are 9-2, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Georgia Tech is 8-3, actually. So,
Georgia Tech has three losses?
Georgia Tech has three losses. That's correct.
And who was the other loss?
I'm sorry, you kind of broke up there. Say that again.
Virginia Tech and Virginia, what was the other loss? Miami?
Yep, we lost to Miami. That is correct.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So they're 8-3. So, yeah, so Georgia Tech might have to win this game as well as bowl game to reach 10 wins with Georgia. So you go with Georgia Tech in this matchup?
I'm going with Georgia Tech only because, like I said, I think that Georgia may be coming in thinking that, hey, this is not the end of the world in this game. I mean, I agree with you as far as the recruiting battles and all that fun stuff too, but I think their goal is how we can stay healthy and how we can play versus LSU in the SEC championship.
I'm going to pick Georgia in this one. You know, I'm going to say Georgia goes on the road and finds a way to pull this one out, you know, with or without Crowell. I still think this is a big game for them and a lot of recruiting battles on the line. I think Georgia goes on the road and wins the battle with the Peach State.
Should be interesting. All right. Go ahead.
Next game we have is ranked Penn State, Wisconsin. Penn State wins. They are going to the Big Ten championship game against Michigan State. State with a big win on this weekend at State. I didn't think that they would win. And they got on the road again this weekend at Wisconsin. And I'm going to pick again. I'm going to go Wisconsin in this game.
I agree. I'm going with Wisconsin all the way.
Yeah, I just think the quarterback will be the difference. And Wisconsin is strong on the winning game. They're at home. And I see them knocking off Penn State and possibly Penn State for the 10th game there. Next game we have is the Battle of South Carolina, 17th-ranked Clemson, on the road against 12th-ranked South Carolina. Clemson has already assured their spot in the ACC championship game. They're waiting on the winner of Virginia Tech, Virginia, this weekend to see who their opponent's going to be. They're on the road at 12th-ranked South Carolina. Who you?
It's kind of this is a toss-up game for me because Clemson, I'm sure they didn't expect to get beat the way they did. I think they're going to come out, they're going to be ready to go. I'm still not sure about South Carolina. I know they've always had that good defense. I'm just not sure what's going on with that team. So as much as I hate going against them, you always going to go versus the home team, but I think Clemson, I'm going to go with Clemson in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go South Carolina. Clemson has just not been playing very well the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the line State just annihilated them this past weekend. And South Carolina, even though they running back, Marcus Lattimore, they still have playmakers. Connor Shaw is playing well. Elshon Jeffrey, all-star, and again, great defensive play. I like South Carolina at home in that matchup. So we have here Duvernay Notre Dame, at number 6, Stanford.
Wow. I'm going for Stanford in this game.
Yeah, I think Stanford's going to be much for them as well. I think Stanford's at home. Stanford still is one of those teams that still has outside chance of getting to the BCS championship game. And looks like they're going to the Pac-12 championship, but they still have some. They still have a lot to play for in this ball game. Number 2, Alabama on the road at 24.
Yeah, no brainer. You got to take Alabama in this game.
Yeah, yeah. Auburn, the team, in my opinion, doesn't even deserve to be ranked. And even though they're number 24th in the country, I mean, they have just not really. I mean, they had a big win early in the season at South Carolina, and that, of course, that helped Georgia to win the SEC. But other than that, they have just not looked that great. Their quarterback play is suspect, mediocre at best, and I just do not see them being able to pull out this ball game. Game of the weekend, it seems like LSU has been in quite a few of these big games all season, and now they have another huge matchup. Huge implication. Not only is the SEC West championship on the line, but BCS at number 3, Arkansas at number 1, LSU.
I'm going to let you start this one off. What do you think is going to happen, and how much does Arkansas have a realistic chance for the upset?
Do you think Arkansas will, or do you think they have a shot at pulling off the upset?
Clearly, I'm merely stating a point. I've seen your opinion on the topic.
Well, I think LSU is just going to be too strong for Arkansas in the trenches. And with the home field advantage, I'm going to pick LSU. I know you guys out there think I may be a homer, but I'm picking LSU to win the game. I think Arkansas, Tyler Wilson, probably the best quarterback in the SEC. And they probably have the best group of wide receivers in the SEC. But where I think LSU is going to have the advantage is in the trenches. I don't think Arkansas has the offensive line to block the defensive line that LSU has. LSU has 8 great defensive linemen. They rotate about 8 defensive linemen. Those guys are going to be fresh. They're going to put heat on the quarterback on Tyler Wilson. And I think LSU is a deep secondary that can cover Arkansas's corners and, Arkansas's wide receivers. So, Arkansas will get a few plays in this game, but I just don't think they're going to be able to beat LSU in the trenches. And I don't think Arkansas's defensive line is going to be able to stop LSU's running game, the offensive line. So I'm looking I believe it or not, I see a 2-3 touchdown by LSU in this game.
Wow, there you heard it. Like I said, I kind of agree with you too. I don't think Arkansas is built to handle a tough LSU team. You guys are definitely going to run the ball on them. I think, like you said, they're going to get a couple plays out there, but at the end, LSU will wear them out with their physicality and end up pulling out the win.
There you have it, a college football preview for this coming weekend. It's rivalry weekend, lots of big games. Tend to look at pro football here. Already have about 6-7 minutes left in the show. The Green Bay Packers, we asked this question that week, the game.
Yeah, this is a big game, not only to the fact that it's on Thursday night, but one of those situations where if the Packers can get beat, this is a team that that should do it. Detroit, they're going to be zeroed in. And Matthew Stafford is playing surprisingly well, even though he had his little issue with his – I don't know if he – would he have a thumb issue or something like that? Very interesting to see how he comes back and plays against a very explosive Aaron Rodgers – Packer team that the only people that can stop them are themselves. So I do think Max can pull it out there.
Matthew Stafford threw 5 touchdown passes this past weekend against Carolina. I see this game be a high-scoring shootout.
Yeah.
At Detroit. You know something? I'm going to shock a lot of people by picking Detroit to pull off this win. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this will be Green Bay's first loss of the season. It's Turkey Day. Detroit at home on Turkey Day is very tough to beat. The crowd is going to be in. And I'm going to go out on a limb and pick an upset. I think it's I think both of these games are going to be in the 30s and 40s. It's going to be a high school game. And I want to go out on a limb and pick an upset.
Wow. I'm glad that you have enough inertia to go with that, man. So good for you, man. Like
yeah.
I said, the way the Packers are playing, they are due for that. But like I said, you know, it's probably going to be like a team like the Dolphins or something like that. They're going to like, you know, or a team that's like that the Packers aren't going to get up for. But you know, so far they stay focused. So we'll see how everything plays out. Let's talk about the moves.
Even with Green, if Green Bay does lose, I still think they're the best team in the league. Huh?
No doubt, no question. We had a system, so there must be some divine intervention upon TiVo because this guy is managing to win. And even after the Broncos have just waved goodbye to Kyle Orton. So, number one, as we wrap up the show, where do you think Kyle Orton is going? And then, number two, what do you think about TiVo? I hate to keep, you know, I'm sorry folks that don't want to hear about this, but what a fascinating story this is that this guy just keeps winning. Well, supposedly he's not the best quarterback, but he keeps winning. What do you do?
Yeah, well, you know, I think John Elway said it best. You know, the guy is a competitor. He's a winner. And, but he has to improve in the passing game in the long run if they want to be a winner. I'm still not a believer that this is going to last. I mean, teams are going to have enough film on him to stop some of the things he's doing. And he's going to have to be a better passer if he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. And I still think this is just a coincidence. It looks like the Oakland Raiders are the best team in that division right now, and I think they're going to eventually pull away from Denver. And I still think they're going to have a long way to go. And believe it or not, Denver Broncos have several scouts at that Oklahoma Baylor game looking at Landry Jones and Robert Griffin. And from my understanding, you know, I came away impressed with Robert Griffin III. So they're not even sold on TiVo. And you know, John Elway said it best. You know, you got to complete more than 4 passes, you know, in the NFL, you're going to be a winner. And so, yeah, I don't think they're convinced that TiVo is their guy. But, you know, I think they want to have him on the team for a situational kind of quarterback, fullback situation. I still don't think he's a long-term answer quarterback for Denver at all. Got another big game for Thanksgiving night, the Harbaugh Bowl. San Francisco at Baltimore. I know we got a lot of listeners in that Bay Area out there. San Francisco's only 1 loss, going on the road Thursday night at Baltimore.
It's going to be interesting. Baltimore, I think they're still kind of banged up. Flacco, the offense for Baltimore still, I don't think they've really hit their stride yet. So I'm leaning towards San Francisco in this game. The 49ers, as much as I hate to say that, being a Jerry Rice torched us in the 90s and whatever, but FY, there you go.
I'm going to go Baltimore in this game. I see San Fran getting the 2nd loss this week. In Baltimore at home. It's a short week to travel and go on the road and travel cross country on a short week. I think that's going to be tough to pull that out. And one of the things you just asked a moment ago about Kyle Orton, where you think he's going to wind up, I think the best candidates are going to be Chicago and Houston. With Chicago, Jay Cutler may miss the rest of the season. Houston, Matt Schaub is out for the rest of the season. So I think those will be 2 candidates. And I think he's going to wind up in one of those 2 spots. And the Bears have a big game. The Bears are on a roll right now, and they have a big game at Oakland this weekend. And with Chicago having question marks at quarterback, I have to go with Oakland in that game.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, the show is over. But anyway, for those that want to get the behind-the-scenes archive, yeah, I agree with you on that, too. Very surprised as far as Kyle Orton. I thought that he would end up in Miami. I don't think Miami keeps liking these stopgap quarterbacks, though. I think they're finally ready to say, hey, let's draft our guy and, you know, make it last. But we'll see what's going to happen, obviously, in the future, you know?
Yeah, I kind of think he's going to go with a team that's in the running for spot. Bears are 7-3 right now. They're only one of the wild card spots. Houston 7-3 is in first place in the AFC South. So Miami, you know, unless Miami's willing to give him like a long term contract and see you out quarterback for the future, and because Orton is mainly going to be a stopgap. I mean, their future, Chicago's future is Cutler. And Houston's future is still matched up right now. So, you know, if he's looking to just go somewhere and help a team to secure a playoff spot, I can see him going to one of those two locations. But Miami, he'll probably be the long-term answer here.
You think that that's going to be a bad thing for Chicago? Since he came from Chicago and he's going back to the quarterback controversy, if Jay Cutler comes back, you think Chicago wants to deal with that headache?
You know, I don't think so. I mean, they're familiar with them already. And, you know, Lovie Smith has that familiarity with them already. So, you know, there are no issues between them. I can't see that being a problem with them going back to Chicago. Yeah, the last big game we didn't get a chance to get to was the Giants going on the road on Monday night against my beloved Saints.
Wow. Interesting. I'm not going to comment because you guys are at home, so it's always tough to play the Saints at home. So, you know, Giants, they can rush the passer, so it's going to be an interesting scenario. So there are going to be a lot of opportunities for Drew Brees if the Giants try to spin their ears back and just kind of go willy-nilly on them. So they had to play smart. Eli's having an incredible second half, or excuse me, he's having an incredible season, playing very well. So this is going to be an easy game for you guys, obviously, try to pull out a win.
Yes, you know, I totally agree, but I don't want to sound like a homer again, and I'm picking the Saints to win this one at home, and I guess the Giants, and definitely a win that the Saints need as well.
Yep. And I guess that's the biggest stuff, man, too. You know, obviously, Falcons are playing the Vikings, minus Adrian Peterson with the high ankle sprain, as we talked about earlier. And we'll see what happens. Yeah.
That's why we have to win. We got to stay ahead of y'all. You guys are going to beat Minnesota. So, we have to beat the Giants and stay a game ahead of you guys.
Yeah, like I said, we'll see how it plays out, man. You know, we just you play to win the game, Rob. Remember that, okay?
Had to throw that in there.
I was trying to find the perfect opportunity, and I was able to sneak it in. But,
I'm sorry, my phone's breaking up tonight, man. I'm not on my landline like I normally do.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
But I'm not at home, so I'm not on my landline.
Gotcha. There's definitely a difference, man. I mean, do I sound broken up? I'm on my iPhone. Do I sound like I'm kind of breaking up, or do I sound okay?
Well, it's, you know, you probably not breaking up, but you coming through my breaking up a little bit, but it's probably my phone.
I got you.
Like I said, I show on my landline at home, but since I'm not at home, it's better for my phone, my cell phone.
Gotcha. Like I said, man, good job, man, on the show. I know we're both, like, tired. We're trying to get over the Christmas or Thanksgiving thing. So, way to pull it out. And like I said, me, I'm coming from three weddings and stuff like that, and then just literally coming in and doing it again, too. So, it's going to be an interesting show, as always. Thank you for taking the time to do the show on a Tuesday night and stuff like that, too. So,
we'll be back to our normal schedule next Wednesday.
Yep. So, anyway, all is well.
Hey, Chief.
Anyway.
I'll talk to you for the holidays, man. A happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Hey, man, you the same, man. Like I said, I appreciate you making the switch. Like I said, I know. Apologize that it was we came down to the last second there, man. I was like 2 minutes from having you run point on that. So, just be prepared. You may have to run a point one of these times.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, sir. Have a good one, man.
All right, Chief. Take care, man.
All right. Bye-bye.